All right. I've got quite a few things to cover today, but as always, I want to make sure that I start with anything that might be on your mind, anything that you want to talk about.
Real quickly, logistically, and I've emailed your people and I haven't gotten a response yet. Every time I get an email from y'all and try to log into the videos, it does not recognize my email address. Is there any way I could get that resolved?
The answer is absolutely. You log in, but you can't get it to recognize the password. Is that what you said?
No. So we get an email to say, watch the week three video. I put it in. I keep
right.
putting my email in. It doesn't recognize it. The only way I can get in is use my son's email.
All right. Making a note. So Will's works, yours doesn't, basically.
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
And right. You can imagine every time I ask him a technology question, for me to ask him another five doesn't make his day or my day.
Yes, I did. I do. I know exactly. I know exactly what you mean. I've got, and this is no joke, I've got an 11-year-old grandson, a 7-year-old grandson, who can do more of this than I can.
Yeah.
And the key is the serenity prayer.
Yep.
And the wisdom to know the difference. All right. Anything else, John, Andrew, Will, anything?
No, thank you.
All right. Be a little patient with your dad, okay?
I try. Every day is a battle.
So how do you do a voicemail? No, I'm kidding.
I do have that part. Has anyone recognized, any one of you had a client recognize your value since we last spoke?
Yeah, I did. John's jumping up and down. We had a client that I just kind of we randomly fell into, in that one of my friends told me I need to talk to him. Ended up, it's turned into, what, $11 million at this point? Will Stevens? And I saw him this weekend at the club, and he basically looked at me and he said, I could not be happier to be with you guys. I feel like a burden's really been lifted, and I'm excited to be a part of the team.
Wow.
Why are
wow.
you shaking your head? So that was good.
Okay. All right. Is that Andrew or Will?
Yeah, it's Andrew.
Andrew, do you – I want to just camp out here a second, just because I'm going to touch just a little bit on acquisition. We think the best time to start a referral discussion is when value is given and value is recognized. Now, here's what we recommend that you do when somebody recognizes your value, is you confirm that you heard it. What a lot of FAs do is they do that aw shucks thing. That's just what we do. That's not fair to the person giving you the compliment. It's like a present they're giving you. So you confirm it to the person that you heard by repeating what they said, sort of. Thank you for saying that. Our team works really hard to provide that level of client satisfaction. You see how that works, Andrew?
Yep.
Yeah, you make sure that they know you heard it. Now, there's a whole script that goes with that we'll get into later, but I want you all get compliments, you get recognition of value consistently. It doesn't come in the form of saying, hey, Andrew, you give add a lot of value. It's usually in the term of a thank you for this or how they notice something else. So I want you to always be aware when clients recognize your value. Now, having an and confirm it. You can start that today. Having said that, know that every time you talk to a client and they give you a compliment is not necessarily the right time to have a referral discussion. If every time they praise something you're doing, Andrew, you launch right into the referral conversation, they're going to quit giving you compliments. So the first part of this acquisition strategy is they give you they recognize your value, you confirm that you heard it. Later on, you will make the decision whether or not you want to continue with the script we had. Is that client, the $11 million client, Andrew, is that someone who is in a position to give referrals?
Yes.
I'm going to get into, if we have time today, centers of influence. Is that somebody who might be a center of influence for you?
No.
Okay. All right. All right. But, gosh, I haven't heard a recognition of value much better than that as long as I've been teaching this stuff. Congratulations. Part of the homework was to put together your script or bullet points to use to inform your clients about the refinements you're making to your practice. John, you have that work in front of you?
Yep.
Is it in paragraph form or is it bullet?
It's more bullets. And, again, mine is not an issue because I have so little. I've gone down to, like, 46 relationships.
Right.
And the first probably 30 have already been doing this. I basically told them I've streamlined the business. I want a standing call, even though we talk all the time. I want a standing call on the calendar every month. We'll probably try to get in front of each other more. But the thing is, I get in front of these guys almost once a month. And then I introduce them to Leela that she's going to be doing the scheduling. And I also told them that I actually opened up my business, streamlined my business so I could take referrals when they have someone that I have the capacity to take on more people.
You've done that for a couple of reasons. Number one, you can never let the growth of your practice compromise the service you're giving to existing clients. Strong statement to make. And the other reason you are controlling the number of people in your practice is you always want to have the capacity to take on people who fit your ideal client model.
Exactly.
Make sense?
Okay. Yep.
All right. Now, here's what I would ask you to think about. You know your clients better than I'll ever know your clients. But you're paying me to give you my best thoughts, and then you decide how to execute them. One of the things I know you have great relationships with these 46 people. I can hear it in your voice. I want to make sure they know everything that you do for them. I want them to make sure that they understand the team, that you have a minimum. All of those things, because that makes them better advocates for your practice. It's one thing to say John's a great guy, he's got a lot of experience, all those things. It takes it to the next level when they can say he runs a concierge practice for a limited number of people. They have a minimum, all the things that your brand has. So I understand what you're saying. I just don't want you to miss opportunities to establish your brand in your client's mind. And I'm going to I have to trust you to know when that's the right time to do it. But there's so many things that we do for clients, that you do for clients, they have no idea. And it's like I would imagine in November you look at ways to pair gains and losses for your clients. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Most FAs, or a lot of FAs, they do that work and there's nothing to do, so they move to the next one to see if there's anything that needs to be done, when in fact the way that you do this is, if there's nothing to do, you call the client and say, I just want to make sure that I went back through your account. I was looking for ways to offset gains and losses. There's nothing to do this year unless you've had a transaction away from me. I just wanted to let you know that I've done that work. So
that's a good idea, to beat the accountant asking us first.
Yeah, and think about this. Sometimes I make just paint a picture. You've got a great client sitting down after playing 18 holes of golf, and his buddy says, gosh, I got a call from Merrill Lynch, and he goes through how they paired gains and losses, and he wonders why he hadn't heard from you. You got to take credit when you do that kind of work. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Andrew, are you making calls to your relationships, telling about the changes in the practice or the refinements to the practice?
No. I'm only doing it through my year-end meetings, which I'm setting up right now. So I've got my first one on Friday of this week.
Okay. Are you
I've only got 19 people I handle, so I'll be able to hit them pretty quickly.
Okay. I'm going to be presumptuous and give you a thought of how those, when you're rolling this out with a client, you go through all the things that you normally do, the agenda, so on and so forth, and then something along the lines of on a regular basis, we take a step back and look at our practice. We've been doing that over the last couple of weeks, which you have been doing probably longer than that. We're going to make some refinements to our practice. Do you have a minute for me to tell you about them? And then just hit the bullet points. And again, I sent out that document that is the points to be made with retained clients, the fact that you've established a minimum, reduced the number of people in your practice, all of those things, monthly scheduled contact, the things that you think are important, so your clients know what you're doing, and as I just said to John, they're now armed to become a better advocate for what you all do. Make sense?
Yep.
And you said you have 16 relationships or 19?
Approximately 19.
Okay. All right. Will, same
question. I've been rolling it out to prospects. So if you want to think about it that way. So I've kind of got the speech down.
Good. Good. This is how you differentiate yourself. You do a lot of things. You can deliver the service model. You can't guarantee returns, but you can make sure that your service model is fully rolled out. So it's terrific to use it with a prospect. Will, what about you?
So I have not started to articulate the refinement of our practice yet to my existing clients that I cover. As of right now, I was supporting John and Andrew with a lot of the year-end stuff. I know we've talked about it, that I have the smaller account sizes of the of our practice, and as well have a lot more households than John and Andrew. So we talked about possibly doing the 4-2 and not the reaching out to them 12 times a year for a scheduled call. So I'm, as of right now, working with John and Andrew, and it is on my docket to plan for a strategy and a service model that's more consistent for all of these smaller households. I think it's unrealistic for some of these people who it's a little bit of an older book to do a complete 360 refinement and expect them who they have not been used to, I guess, talking monthly or about their money. So what we were thinking instead is slowly ease them into it and probably schedule at least 4 quarterly calls, reach out on a proactive basis, and then at least try to see them twice a year in person and do 1 annual review in person as well, at least. But as of right now, I'm still trying to keep my wrap my head around it on how I can best support them and refine our practice, and as well continue my existing responsibilities of supporting John and Andrew on some of their new business development and their existing relationships, if that all makes sense.
I heard everything you said, and most of it makes sense to me.
Okay.
Will, you have 95 clients that include 60 clients that you have to keep through August. That's
correct.
I'm reading from that. Okay. I don't see any reason to roll out the service model with 60 people that you're going to reassign in August.
I completely agree.
John, you okay with that?
I'm totally okay, and I know this is kind of messing up what we're supposed to be doing.
No.
It's just the dynamics of the inherited book from the firm and the 78-year-old man that, please God, will leave soon. We'll be able to straighten our stuff up because we're bringing in we could bring in another 20 to 40 million over the next couple of months. That Will is so busy on this stuff.
Yep.
That the goal is to get him out of all that stuff. But again, he's 25 years old. There's a way to pay him some money to keep these accounts alive. Our goal is, if we look out in the future, it's going to be 150 relationships. I have 50. Andrew has 50. Will has 50. That's where we're going.
Here's what I don't want. I want to have a repeatable service model, something that you know what repeatable means. And we have two basic kind of clients. We have people who receive 12-4-2, and then we have butlers. Those are people that we have to keep. So I don't want to be, Will, when you went explained what you explained, I don't want you to. Are you going to end up with people who are staying with you, but they're not butlers?
So what we would see that some of these people would stay with us, but I guess the issue that we're having and that you're trying to articulate is that some of these people that are going to stay with us, they're not necessarily butlers. They may not fit our client profile, but we don't. The clients don't expect, and we are not probably going to reach out to them monthly for a scheduled call. So it will be a different service matrix, if that's okay. That's what we were thinking.
Well, you get to decide. I don't think it's make to us. You got the butlers. Everybody knows what that is. Best friend, adult child, whatever. And then you got people who receive the Supernova experience. So what I'm trying to focus on, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time doing it, but it's important. Who are these people in purgatory here? If you're going to keep them, why don't they get 12-4-2? Or be offered 12-4-2.
Yeah, I understand that. So the way we view it is that we view each of these inherited books and these people that we're working for as, I guess, the smaller accounts as, I guess, a different way, but butlers. Of these books, there are probably maybe five households in each of them, so 10 total that fit our client profile. And in order to acquire those ones, I guess all of those other relationships are butlers. But this, we may be spending too much time on this because our book is going to change in August when we can move the majority of it to the call center and to someone that will be able to give them that service matrix. And then hopefully in the foreseeable future, the other older advisor would transition out as well. So I completely get where you're coming from, and we agree. It's just we are in a little bit of a transition period with some of these smaller relationships that don't fit our client profile that we're going after.
Let's stop with what I'm getting ready to say. I don't want you running two service models.
Okay.
We're going to have to, so you got to get over it.
Yeah, and I have.
All right.
So you're going to go to the people who are in between butlers and the ones that are out of here, you're going to offer them quarterly contact?
Yes.
Are you comfortable doing that, being able to deliver it?
Yes.
Okay. It's such a small part of your practice. I don't want to, you know, if you were saying you're going to do that with half the practice, I would tell you it wouldn't work. If it's a limited number of people and new people that come in are going to meet your minimums and they're going to receive a monthly schedule contact, correct?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay. I got it. All right. Thanks for explaining it, guys. Okay.
We wish it was easier. Believe me.
Yeah.
Well, I think it'll be easier if you consider those 60 people. And I'm not. Making a diss in those 60 people, but I would be reactive with those folks. I mean, they got to make sure that they get their RMDs and all that stuff. But if
that's,
they're not
we're,
be
we're
enough,
do,
okay.
Yeah. We're yeah. doing that, and the goal is again, if our minimum's two, that's the only thing new going to come in. We're adamant about that. So Andrew has 19, I have 46. The capacity is there. We're putting so much effort into new business. The reason I came to y'all is how to service, really, my 46 relationships. The phenomenon with Will is just, I don't know how much money is made off it, but we have to deal with it till it's over. If I could push a button right now, I would reassign every single one of them about 10. And Will would be those 10 people, and Will would have a capacity for 40 more, and we'd move on. And that's, again, he's 25, so he's an integral part, and he does a lot to do with the new business. So it's not jeopardizing the crux of the model.
John, everything gets overlaid with common sense, and common sense tells me that you can make that work. So I'm going to move on. You said you wanted to get to in our first week. You said you wanted to get the organization as quickly as possible. Last week, you told me we don't have to talk about segmentation. I've got that highlighted. When we get into the organization, we're talking about two things: the folder system and the scheduling. Next week, I will go over the folder system. And Leela, you haven't gotten a call from Cindy Bowie yet, have you?
I have not. No.
Okay, I will have her call you this week and set up a time that she can go over the scheduling tool.
Okay.
The scheduling tool is an Excel spreadsheet. Are you comfortable with an Excel spreadsheet?
Yes, very.
Well, if you're very comfortable, this will be a very short call. There are a few nuances. So I'll have Cindy reach out to you before the week's over. So next week we'll get formally into the organization. So segmentation's addressed. There's a schedule for organization. I'd like to spend some time today on acquisition. We've talked. The number one source of new business for most FAs as they come through Supernova is from existing clients. Clients hear about the refined practice, they bring in more money, so on and so forth. The next fastest way is through centers of influence. And we've talked a little bit, we've touched on this just in passing. A center of influence is somebody who has given you referrals or someone who is in a position to give you referrals. As you think about a center of influence, John, and just give me a first name, if you would, who is a person who could be a center of influence for you?
Bill Palmer, an estate attorney.
All right. And has he given you referrals in the past?
Yes.
What's his first name, Bill?
Bill, B-I-L-L.
Can Bill specifically describe what you do?
Yes.
All right. When's the last time he gave you a referral?
He gave me a referral. It's an $11 million account. A woman's husband died at 52. It started with a couple of million, and we've gone through the whole thing, and I have sent him several clients that he's done estate stuff. Yesterday, a head of an investment bank called me and said, I want to put your name on a list to meet this guy who's getting $50 million, and do you have a local state attorney I can talk to? So I put those two in contact with each other yesterday.
All right.
So it's pretty active.
All right. Terrific. I'm going to ask this question of everybody. Think of one other person that could be a center of influence for you. John?
So we have a lot of heads of investment banking firms, and they're referring people that are fellow managing directors at all the different firms.
And each of those people knows specifically how to describe your practice.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew, same for you?
Yeah.
All right. Can you think of one person, Andrew, that is the center of influence for you?
Tell them about the referral you're going to tomorrow.
Yeah, well, this is a new COO for us. This is a criminal defense attorney named David. He's referring us into a wrongful conviction that's a net of his fee, $5 million opportunity.
And he's involved in the Duke lacrosse case.
Oh, boy. What a mess.
Yep.
So that's our first referral from him.
And how did you the referral source, how did you develop that referral source?
He asked to switch carpool duty with me, and I took him out to breakfast afterwards.
How did, And how did you know he would be a good center of influence for you?
Because Andrew doesn't know any poor people.
Because I don't know any poor people. Because I knew his wife personally. I knew they owned two separate properties in Deer Valley, and I knew the types of cases he defended and the types of settlements he was getting. So I had breakfast with him, followed up, and then went and pitched him and his wife, and then they came in and met our entire team. So they did like a miniature due diligence session on us relative to their personal assets. And at the end they said, we're not sure what we're going to do, but we understand your business should we have opportunities to refer in.
Wow. All right. Man, you guys are killing it. Will, anything, any centers of influence jump out for you?
I have some long-term ones that I have been kind of keeping in touch with, but nothing has come to fruition yet. But yes, I have an estate attorney or estate planner, and then also a accountant at a large accounting firm that deals with M&A that I have been keeping contact with.
All right. We talked earlier on about what your ideal client looks like. What you gave me is your ideal client's made up of your minimum and the soft issues. And what you gave me is smart, follows your advice, don't argue about fees, refer. Have you asked these referral sources, the people you're referring to, have you ever asked them what their ideal client looks like?
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's a great question to ask.
Because Will said it, the way I've ended up getting some of these guys comfortable with our business is I will set up the meeting to say, I'm looking for another provider within your space. I want to understand what types of clients you look for so that if I do make you a referral, I know it's a viable one from your perspective.
Well, I know I say wow a lot with you guys. I don't say wow with everybody.
We appreciate you saying wow. We'd like to recognize that we're trying to do a good job for you.
You're good students, too. All right. I wanted to spend a few minutes. I wanted to talk about something we call a game board. I think I sent you a copy of that. I'm going to get to that next time. What I would like to do today is to begin to work on something that we call a practice overview. It's your practice on one page, and after this call is over, I will send you a template, what it looks like. Just to describe it, the part describes each of you and what you do, and a little bit about a description of the practice. And then the power is in the three headings after that. These three headings have bullet points underneath. I'm a big fan of bullet points. I think people don't read everything. You all make a pitch. You leave a pitch book. It's pretty. It's bar charts, so on and so forth. People usually don't go over that, but they will go over a one-page overview of your practice. And after the description of your practice, there's three headings. Number one is basic beliefs. And then you have bullet points underneath that to tell people what your basic beliefs are. The second part is what clients can expect. And again, bullet points underneath that. What can clients expect? Well, just one that's pretty obvious is monthly scheduled contact. What's a basic belief? The client's interest will always come first. I'm not suggesting this is what you have to put in it. I'm just trying to get your mind working so you can see where we're going with this. And then the third part, and the part that I think is the most powerful, is what we expect of clients. Very few advisors tell clients, new clients, prospects, what they expect of that client. And that's where you could put things, we expect clients to be respectful of scheduled appointments. We expect clients to introduce us to other professional advisors so that we can be part of a coordinated effort. We expect rapid disclosure of any changes in financial position or investment objectives. again, those are I'm just seeding the clouds here. So what I would ask you to do for next week is to come with two basic beliefs of your practice. Every FA has basic beliefs. It's sometimes it's really hard to write them down. Two things that clients can expect from you, and then two things that you expect of clients. When you see the template, I think it'll be pretty clear what it looks like. Can you think of one basic value of the team, John?
You know, I think we're a holistic financial planning I call us a pseudo family office.
Okay. This is your practice overview. Financial planning is probably something that clients can expect instead of a basic value. And if you want the CFP, you can go into the Google CFP Code of Ethics, and it'll list a bunch of things that will get your mind going. What we're trying to come up with here. I'm not saying to copy those. I'm just saying if you do that, you're going to get some ideas of what your basic beliefs are. You have them. Sometimes it's just hard to state them. So two of each of those. I'll send you the template, and I'll put the. I'll send you the template after this is over. Any questions?
Nope, I'm good.
No, thank you very much.
Yep.
All right, you all are doing great work. You really make this. You make this fun. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good week. Bye.
Talk to you this week. Bye.
Bye.